Sushi Nation, Genevieve Koshenda, Series Editor Bob Hastings. Chapter 1, The Japanese Diet. Japan is surrounded by water, so it's no surprise that the sea is an important part of Japanese history and life, and that seafood is an important part of the Japanese diet. The Japanese have one of the healthiest diets on earth. They eat many fruits and vegetables, and a lot of rice. And unlike some other nationalities, the Japanese do not eat too much. They use smaller plates, and so they eat less food. Less food means fewer calories. Because of this, only 4% of the Japanese population is obese, compared to 17% of the French and 34% of Americans. The Japanese diet is one of the reasons why the Japanese also have long lives. Women live an average of 86 years, and men live an average of 80 years. And Japanese men and women don't just live for a long time, they also live a good life with a healthy body and a healthy mind. One part of the Japanese diet is especially important, and that's fish. The Japanese eat a lot of fish. They may have only 2% of the world's population, but they eat 10% of the world's fish. What's more, the Japanese eat the healthiest kinds of fish. Salmon, tuna, mackerel, sardines, and herring all have a lot of omega-3 fatty acids, but not many calories. Omega-3 fatty acids are very good for the health of your heart. Not only are these fish good for you, but they taste good too. Chapter 2. Ama Divers. Do you believe in mermaids? In Japan, there are women who can stay under the water for a very long time, just like mermaids. Ama means sea person in Japanese, and the Ama spend a lot of time in the sea. They are free divers, meaning they dive very deep in the sea without oxygen tanks to help them breathe or any other special equipment. Ama divers are almost all women. The tradition of the Ama is 2,000 years old. The Ama divers are found everywhere in Japan, but the tradition has always been especially strong in Toba. Toba, in eastern Japan, has deep water and a rocky coast. Many people in Toba make their living from the sea. The Ama dive in the deep waters to look for valuable shellfish to sell for food. The Ama can dive to a depth of 25 meters. That's like the height of a six-floor building, and they do it without using an oxygen tank. They use a special kind of breathing to help them dive deep into the water. Ama divers can hold their breath for 2 minutes before coming back up to the top of the water. Until the 1960s, most traditional Ama divers wore only small cotton shorts. That made it easier for them to move in the water. They also wore a piece of cloth around their hair. This cloth had good luck words written on it. More recently, Ama divers wear white wetsuits that cover their whole body. The wetsuit is white because the Ama believe the sharks don't like that color. Ama divers tie a rope around their waist. Then they tie the other end of the rope to a wooden barrel. The barrel stays on top of the water. The Ama hold on to it to rest between dives. They also throw their shellfish into the barrel when they come up to breathe. The Ama dive for 6 months of the year. It is a very tiring job. During these 6 months, the Ama do not have the traditional work of a wife and mother. After a day of work, the Ama rest in small huts. They eat, warm their bodies, and talk with the other Ama. Ama divers lived like this for 2,000 years. But at the end of the 19th century, something happened that changed their way of life. One of the ways the Ama made a living was by diving for oysters and selling the pearls. However, in 1893, a businessman called Mikimoto Kokichi started to grow pearls. Natural pearls are rare and difficult to find. It takes about 2 to 5 years for an oyster to make a pearl naturally. Mikimoto's company could farm a large number of pearls at the same time. After 1916, there were many pearl farms in Japan. The Ama divers could not compete with the large pearl farms and stopped diving for pearls. Instead, they started to dive for just abalone and other shellfish. But there is less and less abalone and shellfish, and it is harder and harder for the Ama to make a living. Today, there are not many Ama left. Many of them are in their 50s and 60s. Younger women can find many different kinds of work, and they are not interested in learning the Amma tradition of their mothers and grandmothers. Chapter 3. The Tuna Hunter. Tuna is a very popular fish in Japan, but it is very hard to catch, and the job of the tuna fisherman is very dangerous. Tuna are big, very big. The average adult bluefin tuna is 2 meters long and weighs 250 kilograms, and they are hard to catch. First, they can dive and swim very fast. Some can swim 70 kilometers per hour. Second, they are strong. Once a tuna bites a fisherman's fishing line, it can be a 4 or 5 hour battle between man and fish. This part is dangerous for the fishermen. Tuna are strong enough to pull fishermen over the side of their boats and into the sea. So why do fishermen put their lives in danger to try to catch tuna? For money. Just one tuna is worth a lot of money. In fact, in the fish markets of Japan, they are the most valuable fish. In January 2012, in Japan's famous Tsukiji fish market, a bluefin tuna weighing 269 kilograms sold for $735,000. That's $2,732 a kilo. Bluefin tuna is valuable because of its delicious red meat. The best part of the tuna is the fatty part. The Japanese call this part otoro. At a sushi restaurant, one small piece of otoro can sell for $24. That's an expensive piece of fish. The Japanese eat 80% of the world's catch of bluefin tuna. They love tuna, but that wasn't always true. In old times, the red flesh of the tuna was not popular with the Japanese. This was because there were no refrigerators. Fish with red flesh go bad more quickly than white fish. So only poor people ate tuna. The rich did not want it. But about 170 years ago, there was a very large catch of tuna in Edo, now Tokyo, and a sushi chef served it with soy sauce. It was delicious, and eating tuna became popular. After the Second World War, people in Japan were hungry. They had to eat any food they could find. Tuna became popular. It became more and more popular, and fishermen had to go farther and farther out to sea to catch more tuna. The traditional way to catch fish, even very big ones like tuna, is with a fishing line that the fisherman holds in his hands. In some places in Japan, fishermen still fish this way. They catch one fish at a time. Today, large fishing boats from many different countries use very, very large nets. Overfishing is a big problem. The large nets catch many fish at one time, young fish and old fish together. The young fish don't have time to reproduce. Because of this, the tuna population is falling. Many people are worried that in the future, there might not be any tuna in the sea. Chapter 4. The Knife Maker. Have you ever eaten sushi? To make sushi correctly, the sushi chef needs very special knives. Knife making has a very long history in Japan. The oldest Japanese knife is 1,200 years old. Japanese knives are made the same way that the famous samurai swords were made. They are very sharp and strong. Over 1,300 years ago, Japanese sword makers became famous all over the world for their extremely sharp and durable swords. The samurai warriors needed these swords, called katanas, for their many battles. Japanese sword makers were very skilled. They made the best swords in the world. By the 19th century, Japan was much more peaceful. The samurai did not need swords anymore. So, sword makers stopped making swords and started making knives. One of the best sword makers was a man called Aritsugu. From 1560, the Aritsugu family made samurai swords for the Japanese royalty. As Japan became more peaceful during the 17th and 18th centuries, the Aritsugu started making knives instead. Then, in the 19th century, Japan started to buy and sell things with other countries. When people around the world saw the famous, sharp Aritsugu knives, they wanted them to use in their kitchens. And so the Aritsugu company started making kitchen knives. Today, there is still an Aritsugu store in Kyoto. Since 1956, the manager of the store has been Shinichiro Terakubo. He is the 18th generation of his family to run the store. traditional Japanese knife making needs 4 skilled craftsmen. It takes them 2 weeks to complete one knife. It can take 50 steps to make the best knives. The last step is the engraving. The knife maker engraves his name and company on the knife. The engraved name shows that the knife is made by hand, not by machine. The correct sushi knife is very, very important to the sushi chef. Sushi knives must be extremely sharp and of special quality. If a knife cuts through the fish incorrectly, the fish will not taste good. Like the samurai with their swords, sushi chefs are very careful with their knives. A sushi chef has his own set of knives that can cost hundreds of dollars. He sharpens them before and after use. A sushi knife can cut a single human hair. The sushi chef cleans the knives often while he is making sushi. He covers them up and keeps them in a safe place every night. There are traditional tests of a sushi chef's skill. One test is to take a daikon and peel it into one long piece. A sushi chef must have the best, sharpest knife for that test. Chapter 5. The Sushi Chef. In Japanese culture, sushi is an art. What the sushi looks like is as important as how it tastes. Because Japan is an island with the sea all around it, fish and other seafood have always been a very important part of the Japanese diet. Sushi was first made hundreds of years ago in Japan, but it was very different from what we know today. It was a way to stop fish from going bad. Raw, cleaned fish was put between rice and salt with a heavy rock on top. It stayed like that for weeks. Then the rice was thrown away and only the fish was eaten. In the 18th century, a chef in Tokyo decided to make sushi in a faster way. He didn't put the fish between rice and salt for weeks. He used fresh fish with rice and vinegar. People loved it, and fresh sushi became very popular. In traditional Japanese culture, nature is very important. The Japanese like to live with the seasons. They prefer to eat fruits and vegetables during their natural season. For example, they only eat strawberries during the spring. Japanese chefs also like to make food look like nature. For example, they may put fish and vegetables on a plate so it looks like the fish is swimming in water. Chefs also use small, beautiful, colorful plates to serve the food. A sushi chef is an artist. Sushi chefs want their customers to eat with their eyes and with their mouth. The training of a sushi chef is very long and difficult. Traditionally, the Japanese learn a job or a skill through a long training course called an apprenticeship. Someone who wants to be a sushi chef cannot pick up a knife on his or her first day in the kitchen. First, he or she must work in the kitchen cleaning the floor, doing dishes, and other jobs for many months. It takes a long time to become a sushi chef. And after that, it may take 10 years to become the head chef. The skill of the sushi chef is best shown by how they prepare fugu. Fugu is a fish that is dangerous to eat because it has poison in it. The sushi chef must cut and clean it very, very carefully. Only special sushi chefs with special training can prepare fugu. Sushi became popular in the USA with the famous California roll. A Japanese sushi chef working in California put avocado in a sushi roll instead of otoro, fatty tuna. Americans who didn't want to try raw fish but enjoyed avocado loved this new kind of food. The California roll became very popular all around the USA. By the 1980s, Americans were ready to try more traditional kinds of sushi. Chapter 6. What do you think? Fish is delicious and it is healthy, but are we eating too much of it? Overfishing, catching too many fish, is a very serious problem all over the world. The bluefin tuna population has decreased 70% in the last 30 years. But people in many countries love to eat bluefin tuna, and they want more and more. Fishing boats from many countries have different ways to catch the tuna, such as longline fishing. Fishing boats put out about 95 kilometers of fishing lines in the Atlantic Ocean. These longlines catch many, many tuna at one time. In the future, there might not be any more bluefin tuna, or many other kinds of fish and sea creatures. What can we do? Stop fishing? What about the many people who make a living from fishing? Maybe the price of tuna and other fish should be higher, but then only rich people will be able to eat fish. Is that okay? Should we use different ways to fish in the oceans? What do you think?